I must be led by the Spirit, fruit producer. Okay? Now, I love this. Not only is the Holy Spirit of God the flesh denier in my life, he doesn't just stop there, though. It's not good enough for the Holy Spirit to say, stop doing that. But now he says, beyond that, now I want to produce the grace of God in your life. Now I want to produce the fruit that only I can produce, the Holy Spirit says, through your life.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. We're glad that you've stopped by for an important message today. My name's Craig Turnbull, and I get to be the host of our program. And in a moment, we'll hear from our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. But hey, we're in the middle of a series looking at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And today we consider what it means to walk in Him. What does it look like for the Holy Spirit to have control over my heart? And what kind of fruit will I see in my life as a result? These are great questions and ones that the Word of God has great answers to. Let's dive into God's Word together and turn things over to Pastor Robbie with today's teaching from Galatians 5 and a message entitled, In Step with the Holy Spirit.
So here's what happens when we're praying and reading God's Word and in community and in fellowship and yielding to the Lord. What begins to happen is we begin to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I've taught on this before, but what happens, and this is so beautiful, as you begin to become aware of what the Lord wants you to do by His Spirit, you find yourself every day with one of two choices, door A, door B. You walk up to a situation, you're about to say something, you're about to do something, you're about to think something intentionally, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit goes, whoa, 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 whoa. You have door A, Robbie. Door A is the willful choice to sin in your flesh, to say that hurtful thing, to cheat on some act or at work, to do something that will be harmful, to be dishonest, whatever it is, to deceive. Door A is the choice of the flesh. He says, you can do that. You can walk through that door, but you will be willfully losing in life. And then he says, but here's door B. And door B is the way of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the path of life. It's the path of joy. It's the path that God guarantees to bless. Door B is always harder than door A. Door A is so much easier to walk through. Door A might feel like it's going to be right, but we have the choice. When you are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are stopped by the presence of God. You see door A for what it is. You see door B for what it is. And at that moment, you decide if you want blessing or you want pain. Now, you might believe the pain door is actually the pleasure door, but it will never work out that way, not in the long term. And every time we choose door B, the ways of God, the Holy Spirit of God, every time we choose that door, we are choosing the path of the Lord and therefore choosing the path of blessing. Imagine that just in the context of marriage alone. Every day, probably dozens of choices, door A, door B. And the mature Christians, they see them, and at that point, the Holy Spirit's like, man, I've told you, will you walk with me or will you be led by your flesh towards the destruction of self? So a term in our day, which is a very negative term, is DUI, driving under the influence of alcohol. It's a serious criminal offense in our land. And that talks about someone who is under the influence of a substance that heightens the flesh to create a very, very difficult and very dangerous decision-making process where many, many lives are hurt and wounded or killed forever because someone is unable to operate under the proper influence. DUI. We are called as believers in Jesus Christ to walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be under the control of alcohol, but be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, because He leads us through the door and the path of blessing. I am telling you, this biblical teaching right now, what we're talking about right now, this will be the massive difference maker for every single one of us who care to live in the life of Jesus Christ. It's wisdom versus foolishness. It's so simple, yet so profound. the ability to see the reality of what is happening. Do I want to walk by the Spirit? Do I want to walk by my flesh? Now, notice here in verse 60, I want you to see something. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the... See the order there? The order is, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What many believers do, look here, many believers reverse it. What many believers do, if I try hard to deny the flesh, then I will walk by the Spirit, okay? That's a massive mistake. That is nowhere in the Bible. In fact, that's so important. Let's get this incorrect theology and correct theology on the screen. I need you to see this. This could change your life right here, okay? Here's the wrong theology. I just said it. Let's see it on the screen. If I try hard to deny the flesh, then I will walk by the Spirit. Many of us are doing that right now. I got to try harder. I got to fix my life. How many people before they are baptized say, I got to get my life in order. I got to be in a better place. Then I'll be baptized. Where's that in the Bible? Nowhere. The correct theology is, if I walk by the Spirit, then. This is what happens first. The surrendering, the yielding, the praying, the reading God's word, the desire, the longing, the leadership of Him, the desires of my heart for the Spirit of God. Then, when He has my desires, I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Don't do this. It'll never work out well. This is what we're called to do. It's right there in the Bible, verse 16. Only the Holy Spirit of God is my flesh denier. Therefore, only the Holy Spirit of God is the antidote to the flesh. The only antidote to the flesh in my life is the Holy Spirit. Only He can deny my flesh. And now we're going to get a little bit specific on the activity and the desires of the flesh versus the Spirit. So, am I in step with the Holy Spirit of God? I must walk by the Spirit, flesh denier. Number two, I must be led by the Spirit, fruit producer. Okay? Now, I love this. Not only is the Holy Spirit of God the flesh denier in my life, He doesn't just stop there, though. It's not good enough for the Holy Spirit to say, stop doing that. But now He says, beyond that, now I want to produce the grace of God in your life. Now I want to produce the fruit that only I can produce, the Holy Spirit says, through your life. So look at verse 18 now. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Now, this is, look at how rotting our flesh really is. Pick up the stench of death of our flesh in verses 18, 19, and 20, okay? Notice verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. The three sins listed here are all sensual or sexual sins. How important is it to the Spirit of God for sexual purity in our lives? The works of the flesh, sexual immorality, that can also be translated as adultery. Impurity can also be translated as fornication, sensuality. That can be translated even as debauchery. The works, how many of us in this room right now severely struggling with sexual purity? That is the flesh in you seeking to ruin you. You got to see it for what it is. The works of the flesh. All these, our society is one big works of the flesh. Our whole society revels, celebrates, and glories in the destruction of the flesh through sexual impurity and disgusting things that are going on all over the place. You gotta see it for what it is. Not a joke, not something to laugh at, not take lighthearted. It's a massive deal to the Spirit of God. Why? It's the works of the flesh. It's anti-spirit, anti-Christ, anti-kingdom of God. And it's everywhere. And in us right now, so I'm sitting here right now, men and women, the flesh is in you seeking to destroy you. See it for what it is. Don't treat it lightly. It's trying to kill you. It wants to ruin everything about you. It's the works of the flesh. First category is sexual sins. Second category is religious sins. Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery. It's interesting. This is, sorcery can be translated witchcraft. So here you have the desire of the philosophy, the spirit of the age, the demonic activity, but the flesh seeks to pursue the spiritual in its own fleshly way. In fact, behind the word sorcery is where we get our English word for pharmacy And it related back in the ancient times to the drugs or potions or spells in witchcraft, which seemed to alleviate people's issues or problems and make them get to a higher state. And look at our world today, this the rampant growth of drugs, all of these things which are seeking to put us in a different mental state where the flesh can run rampant again and have its way without any hindrance or restrictions. See it for what it is, man. These are works of the flesh. Look at the third category in verse 20. We're going to call this social sins. All works of the flesh. Enmity, strife, conflict with one another, jealousy. Just think in your life how you're so tempted with jealousy and strife in marriage, in family, in friends, in coworkers, in neighborhoods, in people you don't like at all. When you have the jealous feeling that rises up within you, that's the flesh. It's the works of the flesh. It's not good. There's nothing good about it. Look at the next one, fits of anger. Some of us here right now, we struggle with a very serious temper. We have outbursts of rage. We are hurting people with our words and our temper and our anger. It's just the flesh. It's the works of the flesh seeking to ruin you. This is the battle we're talking about. This is the raging battle within of the Spirit of God within me and the flesh that's within me that wants to ruin my life. Notice rivalries, dissensions, divisions. How many churches alone have been brought down by those three things? Rivalries between leaders, divisions between groups of people. It's the flesh. The Holy Spirit never leads us to fight and hate one another in this way in competition or division or dissensions. Notice next, envy. Wanting what someone else has or are so angry because someone else has what you think you deserve. That's not good. That's the flesh. It's the flesh rising up to ruin us. Next one's drunkenness. Drunkenness. It's just a drink. It's just a few drinks. It's escape. It's the flesh's desire to make you avoid the reality of life and to try to convince you and lie to you that these next few moments or hours will put you in a state of peace and your own version of sick joy. But really, it's one massive lie of the flesh. It's your flesh rising up within you to destroy you. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, unrestricted wild partying, debauchery. No limits on where humans will go in this type of setting is what Paul's describing here. Why do I take time in this? I want you to see just how rotting our flesh really is. We need to see. It carries with it the stench of death. Why do you say that? Well, look at the end of verse 21. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Those who do, what does that mean? Those who do such things, not the act of the sin, it's the practice of the sin. So those who practice, those who have lifestyles in such sinful behaviors, there's no way that they can be truly led by the Spirit of God because all of these are anti-Christ, anti-Spirit, and we're learning now, anti-kingdom of God. So the person who's anti-Christ, anti-Spirit, anti-Kingdom of God can't possibly be truly filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, does that mean we'll never make a mistake? And we're not going, of course, that happens. But it's the habit. It's the lifestyle. It's the lack of repentance. There's no remorse. There's no contrition. There's no desire to change. It's just free for all in this principle habit of sin and flesh in my life. That is an indication that person, there's no way they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my words. God's word. I want you to notice too, verse 19, the works of the flesh compared with verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, do you see the difference there? What are works? Works are what we earn. We work to earn something. That's our sin. But notice, the fruit of the Spirit, we can't produce fruit. That's all God. That's all Christ. That's all Holy Spirit. So do you see here? That's why Paul says in verse 18, but be led by the Spirit because of the works of the flesh, he lists. But then he says in verse 22, look at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on. See, so the works are what we earn, but the fruit is only what the Lord can produce. Think about it, even as human beings, you and we can't manufacture fruit. You know, we can't make apples grow. We plant a seed, we water, we plant and water, but God gives the growth, as Paul uses that example for the church and our growth in Christ in 1 Corinthians 3. We plant and water, but we can't create the growth. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's why this wonderful example of fruit. You plant an apple seed, you water it, but you can't manufacture the thing to grow and start producing apples. You have to sit and wait and see the miracle of growth happen because it's of the Lord. The same within our lives. We must be led by the Spirit. Because only when we're led by the Spirit will we produce the fruit of the Spirit. And I love that. The Holy Spirit is an inexhaustible fruit producer. He never runs out of fruit. His fruit is always ripe, always delicious, and always fresh. His fruit is supernaturally precious. And loved ones, listen, the Holy Spirit never runs out of fruit, ever. I think of the fruit stands I see in the summertime, and they're the fresh fruit from Ontario, whatever it's coming from, and you stop by those seasonal fresh fruit stands, and it's delicious, and you get some, you bring it home, and you're so excited about it. But the problem with the fruit stands is they're seasonal. But the Holy Spirit's fruit is never out of season, always in season. When we're led by the Spirit, we will then produce the fruit of the Spirit because he is the one who does that within us. So just to show this to you, I got a bowl of fruit here, all right? And I want you to see this. Now notice this, fruit is not to be admired when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is to be eaten. It's meant to be consumed. So we are led by the Spirit, and then all of a sudden, as we're led by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit comes from our lives. And we are using that to bless others. So I want to hand out some fruit today. Eric, here you go, some fruit for you. So as the fruit comes from my life, I'm going to throw this in the back row. Okay, just joking, all right? I won't do that, all right? When the fruit comes from my life, I bear it. Here you go, Brad. And you receive the fruit from my life. Guys, listen, you can't stop this process. When we are led and walking by the Spirit of God, you are producing fruit. And it's delicious. And here you go, man. Ready? It's a banana for you, man. Enjoy, all right? Enjoy. And I want you to see that when we're living the Christian life, this is what happens. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Because if you are led by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit comes from our lives because that's what the Holy Spirit does. You cannot stop the fruit of the Spirit when I'm being led by the Spirit. Think about that. Kind of reminds me of John 15. Maybe Paul was thinking of the words of Jesus. If the branch attaches to the vine, the sap and juice from the vine flows into the branch, giving it life and vitality, producing fruit through it. What is abiding in the vine in John 15? It's walking by the Spirit. It's being led by the Spirit. It's a supernatural process. Now notice the fruit here in verse 22. Notice it's singular. It's not plural. So the fruit of the Spirit is a cluster. All believers get to bear. So it's not that, you know, Adrian, you get love and you get joy and I get peace, but I got to wait for my turn to get love and you wait your turn to get. That's not how it works. When we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, it comes in that cluster and all of it is seen through our lives. It's beautiful. It's awesome. But we got to be led by the Spirit to see the fruit of our lives. Don't you see why the battle is so serious in our lives of spirit versus flesh? Because the one is seeking to produce death. The other is seeking to produce life. This is why we must surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God, because this is where life is truly lived. This is why too, when we are walking in the flesh, there's so much guilt and conviction. when we are unkind to someone, when we hate someone, when we do something wrong, when we cheat, and the Holy Spirit comes in, all of a sudden we feel so much shame and guilt because there's a law against those things. There's a law against enmity and strife and sexual impurity. There's a law against those, but there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit, because that's the very virtue and the will of God. And so, of course, we don't feel conviction or shame or guilt when we're loving someone. We don't feel guilt and shame. We have joy for someone. No. Or feel joy at all and peace in life, because there's no law against that, which is what it says right there in the Word of God at the end of verse 21, or in the end of verse 23, against such things there is no law. You know what I want you to notice too? Notice the bookends of our passage. I mean by bookends, look at, so the whole, this whole spirit versus flesh, but look at verse 15 in Galatians 5. Because some of you are like, so what does this look like? Well, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Do you want to walk by the flesh? Bite and devour each other. Do you want to have the flesh rise up in your life? Do you want to grieve the Holy Spirit? Do that. Bite and devour one another. Let that be seen in your marriage, in your home, in your friendships, in your whatever, workplace. Just do that and you will see anti-spirit behavior. Look at the other bookend, verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Do you think those two verses are placed with intention? Yes. You don't walk by the Spirit? Avoid those things. Avoid envy, avoid conceit, avoid provoking one another. And then look at verse 24 now. Just going verse by verse through our text. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, so there's a lot of hope right here in this verse. Okay, here's what Paul is saying. At conversion, we belong to Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. The penalty of sin is removed. At conversion, our sinful flesh, listen carefully, okay, this is important theology. At conversion, our sinful flesh is nailed to the cross. It's crucified with Christ. Now, what we know is the flesh is defeated, but the flesh in us still tries to create chaos. You say, well, how do you explain that? If it's crucified, why does it still live at all? Why is there any sin in me at all? I think a good metaphor illustration is, think of a chicken running around with his head cut off. Some of you are like, ew, that's gross. Some of you are like, oh, that's really helpful. I've seen that before, all right? When a chicken's head is cut off, it can run around and flail all over the place, creating chaos. Now, the death blow has been delivered on that chicken. You all agree with that? It's just a matter of time before the thing, it's not moving anymore, all right? But in the meantime, there's this period of flailing and running around. That's our flesh. The death blow has been delivered at the cross. But by the design of God, and for purposes we understand, and some purposes we don't fully understand, our flesh is still able to flail around and create chaos and trying to bring us down. But we know the flesh has been defeated. Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, this is a very important point that Satan hates that I'm teaching this right now on the screen for you. He hates this truth because what he wants you to think is, I'll never get over my sin. I'll never get victory over my flesh. It's too strong. I can't defeat it. That addiction's too much. This habit, it takes me down for too long. I can't recover. That's all a lie. If you are truly saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, your flesh has been crucified. The head of the chicken has been cut off. What does this mean? That means this. Our flesh is ultimately defeated. This is huge. The passions of our flesh can be overcome. Look at it, with its passions and desires. So this means I can defeat my flesh by the Spirit of God, the grace of God, the Son of God, for the glory of God. I don't have the strength. He has the strength and he lives in me. See, so even that's a turning point for some of us here right now. We have within us the ability to daily, verse 24 is speaking about a daily conscious decision to crucify the flesh. How? By the Spirit. Not I deny the Spirit so that I can walk by, or deny the flesh, walk in the Spirit. No. I walk by the Spirit to deny the flesh. This can be done. So some of us are here right now and we're living in defeat. Some of us are here right now and the flesh has just had a heyday. Some of us are here right now and we've been lying in the ditch for so long, man, and felt defeated and discouraged and dismayed and despair and depressed. In Jesus' name, today could be a new day. In Jesus' name, by the theology of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, here's what we're learning. He's the flesh denier. He's the fruit producer. I want you to see this too, okay? Again, the moralist or the legalist, they can stop hating someone. In some ways, that's not that I don't murder a person. Lots of people can do that. But notice, to walk by the Spirit, it's not just you're not murdering someone. You replace that desire for loving someone. So it's not good enough to not just do the negative, but we are instructed to be filled with the positive, the grace of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the flesh denier, him alone. He's the fruit producer, him alone. And thirdly, we'll end with this very briefly. I must live by the Spirit. Why? Because he's the life giver. He's the life giver. Look at verse 25 now. Verse 25 says, if we live by, so notice, walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, now live by the Spirit, and live by the Spirit is a different verb than verse 16 for walking by the Spirit, to follow in line with. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in, here's our sermon title, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Notice verse 25, if is the condition. If you are alive by the Spirit of God, then the imperative, the obligation is follow the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one who leads us to life. Loved ones, if the Holy Spirit has regenerated you and given you life, how then can we not follow the one who has caused us to have life in the first place? This will be the difference maker of all the believers who ever lived. This will be the difference maker between the ditch and riding in the strength and the power and the glory of God. I want to put that slide up of the bike. I said before the service I may not, but let me put that up again. I just want you to see, okay, where are you? Where are you in this? All right? Here's a picture of what, you know, some of us are here right now, praise the Lord. You will only stay there by the Spirit of God. Some of us are drifting right now. We're making bad decisions. The flesh is rising up, man, and the bike started to turn over. Some of us are bracing for serious impact and pain. And some of us here right now, man, if truth be told, we're not in a good place. The answer to every single situation is the Holy Spirit of God. To stay where you are in a great place, to be rescued from where you are in a drifting place, to be rescued from the disastrous place, the answer is walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because the Holy Spirit of God is the flesh denier, the fruit producer, and the life giver. God, would you bear so much fruit through our church? Amen.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.